I don't know about you, but I always love when people share what God's doing in their lives. They share it with me and they say, God's been saying this to me. And you think, oh, that's interesting. Do I do that? Maybe I should start doing that. And I wonder if you've heard over the last few months, we've all been listening to what Stephen's been saying. And he's spoken a lot about the tide turning. What does that look like? Is this too high? Do we need to adjust it? I'm too far away. I will try and stick to this position. Or maybe I should just take it out. Right. No, that's fine. I'll try and stand still. I'm a mover. So, Stevie has been talking a lot over the last months about the tide turning. And I've been thinking, what does that mean? In the spiritual, what does it mean if the tide turns? And how does that affect us in the physical? And a few weeks ago, Dion gave a very powerful message about moving from defensive to offensive. And she said, we're not victims, but we're victors. And I thought, that's one of the things. When the tide turns, we have to move, and we have to move in a different direction. So I've been thinking a lot about it, and I thought, okay, what does that mean for us? What does it mean spiritually? What does it mean in the physical? And I'll just share a few thoughts I have with you for you today. Here we go again. Right, could I ask you to move on to the next one for me? We'll just do it that way. I was working earlier, but I just have a knack of technology not working. So, if you think as a child when you went to the beach and you stood on the shore and the tide turned, and it would come in like this sometimes, sometimes not quite so high, but when it came in and it hit the beach, it kind of dragged you out as it was going out. Do you remember that sensation where you were dragged off your feet with the tide turning? And there would be all the shingle and the stones and the sand that would be round about your legs. And it was a bit chaotic and a bit of a turmoil. So if you think over the last few years for us as Christians in this congregation, there's been a lot of turmoil, there's been a lot of chaos, there's been a lot of heartache, there's been a lot of sickness and sorrow. And I believe the Lord says the tide has turned. So that's a glorious thing, and I feel the anointing of God on it right now as I said that. The tide has turned. So that means there's going to be a change in what we're experiencing. I think we might still be in that churning up part, but I think we're moving into a new time. And as we move into a new time, things have to change. Things have to change because the tide is turning. So things don't stay the same. And I'm thinking a lot about this moving from defensive, which we've all been during COVID, during just the things that have been happening to us as a fellowship, as individuals. You have to be defensive. You have to protect yourself. You have to be praying defensive prayers. But if the Lord's saying we have to turn from defensive to offensive, what does that mean? It doesn't mean we have to say offensive things to each other. It's different. It's not that. It's a different type of offensive. Could we move on to the next slide, please? So we're often reminded to put on the armour of God, and that is really crucial. And we've been doing that for years now because things have been coming against us. Things have been hitting us spiritually, and you need your armour on. And you think about the armour of God and the different pieces that we have. There's six different pieces, and interestingly enough, five of them are defensive and one is offensive. So you've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and your offensive one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of, yeah, so it's the word of God, so that's our weapon. And if we are using the word of God in our prayers, we're being offensive. But we still need the armour on. We still need our protection. But with the word of God, we can take territory. You hear all sorts of things on the news about Ukraine and Russia and how they're at a standstill. Ukraine are on the defensive. Russia are attacking. Then it changes. Ukraine go into offensive, Russia in retreat a little bit. Well, it's a bit like that for us now. We're on the offensive. We've got to start moving forward and taking territory from the enemy, because he has taken territory from us, and it's time for us to go after that and take it back. He has no right to it, and we are not going to allow it any longer. So what I want to do this morning is give you some ways of being offensive in your walk with God. So, armour of God, that's great. We've got this armour on, but we've still got the sword, and it's important that we use it. So if we're in a defensive position, it's still a good thing. For example, you're waking up in the morning, you get up, you go through the motions as you do of reading your devotionals, reading your scripture, praying. Then you get into your day. That's good. All good preparation. Then when trouble hits, you start praying. Then if it gets really serious, you'll phone somebody or you'll get in touch with somebody and say, look, this has happened to me. Do you think you can pray? What should I do? And you get help. That's why we need each other, so we can support each other. And as a body, I think it's an incredible place where people really support each other. So you ask people to help you. And then you acknowledge God when something really great happens in your life. You thank him. That's a defensive position. It's still a good position. But if God's saying we have to move from that defensive position to offensive, then we have to start doing things differently. So to be offensive, could I have the next slide, please? To be offensive, you wake in the morning, and rather than just reading your scriptures, you read your scripture, do your devotionals, and then you start proclaiming the word of God over you. You start saying things like, God is with me, God is for me, God's above me, God's before me. I'm the head and not the tail. Depending on your situation, you pray more offensively so that you're taking ground. You're not just praying in a defensive way. You move God's word from your head to your heart. And the only way to do that is to dwell on it every day, to think about it every day, to keep thinking about, even if it's just one scripture. And in fact, I think that's the best way, to have one scripture that helps you in your situation and to continually pray it and pray it over, think about it all the time. And then it starts to go in here, and that's when the power comes and things can start to change. You pray throughout the day. Stevie always encourages to keep praying, to pray continually. So you pray in the car, you pray in the house, you pray in your free time, you pray all the time. It's what it says in the Bible about praying without ceasing. You already have a team of prayer people supporting you in place, or if it's not a team, you have one or two people who you meet with, a prayer partner, a prayer triplet, somebody that you go to and you share the spiritual battles you're in. That's a very good thing to do if you haven't done it already. You praise God throughout the day. Every time you see something that lifts your heart, you see God and you praise him. Like seeing this little lad this morning. That's something you praise God for, a child praising God. So there's lots of ways you can pray. And then thankfulness, that is a key, isn't it? We know that's a key. Thanking God continually for all you have, the gifts he's given you, the provision, everything. And then, as we saw last week, sharing your testimony. How powerful was that when Bobby came down and shared his testimony? There's so much power in it. And I heard Bobby not speaking in a church. I heard him speaking in a golf club as a representative for Guide Dogs, speaking to golfers, non-Christians, who were sitting having a few drinks and food, and he got up and spoke, and I watched. There was silence. As he spoke, and he spoke about what God had done and how things had affected him in his life, everybody was listening. Everybody was hanging on his every word. There was such power in it. He didn't know it, but I saw it. It was very powerful. So don't, your testimony is incredibly powerful. What you've gone through with God is very powerful. You didn't go through it for nothing. You went through it so that you can help other people. that's one of the reasons. I mean, sometimes we have no idea why we go through the things we do, but that's one of the reasons, and the Bible's clear about that. So, you're praying throughout the day, you're thanking God, and you're sharing your testimony. And these are very powerful things. This morning, just like Anne, I read a quote, and I think it was in Lecto 365, and it said, if we want to experience the life of Jesus, we have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Jesus' lifestyle was never defensive. Can you think of any time where he was defensive? I can't. He was always using words that were transformational, that were powerful, that radically changed lives and transformed the world forever. When we read his words, sometimes they transform us. There's such power in them. What's interesting about all of these stances, they all involve our mouth. You noticed that? The mouth is the primary way that we can move from defensive, even passive sometimes, to offensive, and we can start to build the kingdom of God and take territory for our lives. We've all been beaten up over the last few years. I'm not having it anymore. I've had enough. It's time for us to move. And as we move as a body, not just as individuals, things are going to happen out there. So if we want to bring the kingdom, if we want the promises of God, and we know what they are because Stevie's always speaking about them, if we want the promises of God, what God has said about this church, the community out there, and the nation, we have to start using our mouths and speaking them into being. It's so important. Our declarations, our prayers. That's what's so wonderful about praising God. I was just thinking as we were worshiping there, as we praise, we're speaking so many positive, powerful things into the spiritual. So every time we praise, there's power. And when all of us are praising together, there is incredible power to break spiritual atmosphere, to break spiritual strongholds. So use your mouth, whether it's in praising, if that's the way you want to take territory, thanking God, sharing your testimony, whatever it is. Could I have the next slide, please? So if we look at this one, the power of words. There's lots of words on there. Our words, whatever we speak, without using scripture, it can be positive, full of kindness, compassion, life, strength, peace, courage. Just sharing a word to somebody can give them a bit of confidence. This morning, two lovely ladies came to me and they said, we've been praying for you. That gave me confidence because I don't stand up here in my own strength. I would never do it otherwise. But our fellow Christians, when they come and say, I've been praying for you all week, I've been praying for you, that gives me confidence. So if we think about the power of words, our words are weapons, and they're weapons for good or evil. If we use the word of God, they're weapons for good and they're a force. But as we know, in the world, people speak words all the time. We speak words over ourselves all the time. And it's the primary way, the primary channel for releasing spiritual forces, for releasing spiritual weapons against the kingdom of God. Bible's very clear, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we can move from victim to victor by what we speak. We can move from victim to victor by what we speak. And we'll come on to that in a wee while. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about the language that we choose. And we all do it. We all speak negative things. Sometimes we're joking about it, but we're still speaking them, and sometimes it just opens a wee door for something to get in. So the Bible is very, very clear about the power of words and talks about in James how the tongue can no man tame, that it's as powerful as the rudder of a ship to navigate a ship. So your tongue can navigate your life. Your tongue can navigate what happens out there in this community, can navigate the ship, which is this church, to move into the fullness of God. Could I have the next slide, please? Jesus said, and I find this very sobering, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. I've spoken lots of careless words and I've asked forgiveness for it. And you just hope that if you've spoken careless words, it hasn't hurt anyone. For by your words, you'll be acquitted, and by your words, you'll be condemned. And I'm just wondering this morning, what words have been spoken over you? Think for a minute about school days. The things that were spoken over you there, by teachers, by classmates. I was thinking this morning about when I was a teacher in Curry High School, and I had a class, and they were 14, 15-year-old boys, the class that nobody wanted, the class that every teacher spoke, well, almost every teacher, spoke negative words over. You would walk the corridor and one of these boys would be there. You're an idiot. Do you realise you're an idiot? You'll never amount to anything. You're just trouble. And these children used to come into my classroom, and I'll tell you, it was a nightmare. It wasn't the most pleasant of classes to begin with. And they would come in, and I was trying to teach them German, of all things. And they would sit down, and I would say, okay, we're going to do this. Mrs. Thompson, we can't do that. We're idiots. So I made a rule that nobody had to speak negatively about themselves, that we had to say, we can do this. I was using scripture, but they didn't know it. I can do all things. And I would get them to say it, and they didn't know what they were saying. And it didn't happen instantly, but gradually, just with positive feedback, every time they said something negative, I'd say, okay, stop that. What can you say that's a bit better than that? And all of these children were expected to get, at the time it was foundational grades, which was a 6 or a 7, and that's what they were getting all over the school, because people were speaking negative words into them, words of failure, words that they were nothing, words that they would amount to nothing. And in German, they actually got 5s, 6s, 5s and 4s. They got general grades, and it was only because they started to believe in themselves. So think for a moment, what words have been spoken over you? In school, by your parents, by your friends, by your spouse even, by your husband or wife? Are you building each other up, or are you knocking each other down? There's a saying, could we have the next slide please? There's a saying that sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. What a load of rubbish. I would much rather have sticks and stones thrown at me than words, because I know I've had lots of negative words spoken over me. Some of them I'm still dealing with, but I'm dealing with them. But sticks and stones, your bruises heal, don't they? But what's spoken over us and into us goes deep and stays deep unless we deal with it. So look at this picture. That's what harsh words do. It's like a punch in the face. And the word of God says, harsh words do hurt. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So our words have to be gracious. But the reality is we've had lots of negative words spoken over us, haven't we? So I'd like to take some territories this morning. I want us to close our eyes, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to show you some words that were spoken over you in your childhood, early adulthood, whenever, that have had an effect on you, that had stopped you from being the person that God made you to be, stopped you from maybe moving into the position God has here for you in this church. Because words can do that. If somebody says to you, oh, you're useless, you'll never do that, what do you believe? That you're useless. God does not say that. And this morning we're going to break these words off. And that will help us to move into offensive, because the mouth is one of the powerful things when people have spoken over us. So let's close our eyes and we'll pray for a little bit. And if you're online, please do that too. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you to show each person here, just speak into their minds, words, negative words that have been spoken over them, that have impacted them. And Lord, if there's some people here who haven't had negative words spoken of them, I praise you for that and I pray your continued protection for them. But I know there are many who've had negative things spoken over them. So I ask you in the silence just for a couple of minutes to show them these words. So now what I want you to do, whatever's been said over you, I want you to take it to the cross of Jesus and put it down at the foot of the cross. And I want you to say in yourself, I no longer agree with that. I do not accept these words any longer. And if you feel it's a struggle to say that because you don't believe it too much, then just stay in that place until you can say it. So I no longer agree with these words. I no longer accept them. And then what we have to do is forgive the person who spoke them. So just say to yourself, I forgive whoever it was, whether it was a teacher or a parent or a friend or a sibling, whoever it was that spoke these words, say that you forgive them. And then I want you to say into yourself, I am not a victim, but a victor, and I choose today to be all you mean me to be. Amen. Now, when any of these words come back to you, reject them. Don't take them back, because I believe the Holy Spirit told me to do this because he wants a line drawn. And you'll have to work on it because it's been a habit of a lifetime sometimes, you'll have to work on it. And every time these thoughts come back to you, I'm not having it. I'm rejecting it. I'm free because of what Christ has done for me in the cross. Because of what he's done, we are released from the curse. And one of the curses is the curse of words. So could we go to the next slide, please? Thank you. So the power of your words. Your words can influence your health. Oh, I'm really sick. I'll never get better. This is awful. Oh, I hate to think I'm going to have this the rest of my life. We all do it. Your finances. I'm hopeless with money. I always overspend. I'm always in debt. Your destiny. Oh, I'm not good enough. God's opening a door for you, and you're saying, oh, I'm not good enough. I could never do that. Or self-identity, self-hatred. People don't like me. People really don't like me. People think I'm too quiet. People think I'm this. People think I'm that. What does God think? He thinks you're fearfully and wonderfully made. When I was about 22, someone very abusive spoke words over me. And really, they were just highlighted maybe about a year ago. And I was shocked that I was still living under the curse of what they said to me. So I said, Lord, how do I deal with this then? It's been such a long time. And I have been taking all of this on board. And he said, declare what I say here. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So for the last year, every time I have this thought about myself and my identity and what I look like and who I am, I say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's starting to go from here to here now. And it's starting to change me. So if that's you, that's what you do. If it's a different situation, find the scripture and use it as a sword. So we can speak words about over the church. oh, well, maybe that'll never happen. Maybe we'll never move into these promises. I don't think that's happening here at all for one second, because I think everybody's up for it. Everybody's excited about what God's going to do. And your words can bring blessing or curse, as we know. And it's very interesting how we can project what we're feeling. Does anybody watch that programme, Dogs Behaving Badly? Anybody got pets? Right, well, this wonderful dog trainer goes to visit houses where dogs are out of control. And it's funny because even without being a dog trainer, you look and you see, it's them, it's them. Well, I've always watched this programme because I love dogs and I've always had dogs. But here, last week, I had a dog trainer just come. I'm going to do a wee environmental course with my dog. I've got a German Shepherd. She's a retired guide dog. She's a brilliant dog. She doesn't need training. I need the training, and I recognise that. So I had this trainer come to the house, and I got the revelation. So she said to me, so what's your problem with the dog? I went, I don't really think she's got a problem. I think it's me. And she said, this is a non-Christian. It usually is the trainer. Now, interestingly enough, I've been going to this class, and there's 12 German Shepherds and 12 owners, and I've been going for about 2 years now, and I can look at an owner and think, you've got real anxiety problems because the dog's behaving like that. So it's going right down the arm to the lead. And I'm watching, and I could, you can sense, you can pick up these things. So with me, it's me. And she says, so what's going on? I said, well, Skye came from a home where it was the best guide dog trainer you could have, and he was brilliant, and I've met him, and he's great. And he had two other dogs in the house, and she was really happy, and she had his company, and she had these dogs. And then I thought, I'm projecting onto her that I think she's bored, and she's not, she's happy. So that was a realization, you know, that we project, we start to get these thoughts in our mind about what's going on. And I all of a sudden realized I was projecting what I thought was going on with the dog, and there's nothing wrong with the dog, it's me. So I have to change my thinking. And we find lots of different situations where we have to do that. So our words, our thoughts have the potential to determine all sorts of things, don't they? Okay. Could we go on to the next slide, please? So the tide has turned. You're not a victim, so don't talk like one. Your own words actually have more power than those that are spoken against you. Do you know that? Your own words have more power than what other people say about you. So everything you say about yourself has more power than what other people say. This is where the word of God is so incredible, because it can break that off us. And the scripture there is, you have the power of Christ living in you, and light and dark can't coexist. So here's the choice. You allow the dark of your negative words to exist within you, or you allow the light of Christ. Because it says here, the two can't coexist. So what are we choosing? The light or the darkness? Are we going to choose to speak positive over ourselves? To move into offensive rather than defensive? So what do you say about yourself? Let's do that wee exercise again. Close your eyes and I'll ask the Holy Spirit. What do you say about yourself? Do you say, I'm not good enough? I'll never amount to anything. I could do this in the church, but no, I'm just not good enough. Do you say, I'm ugly? Do you say, I'm too quiet, I can't do stuff? What do you say? There'll be things that you say to yourself. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you to highlight what we say to ourselves, that it might be broken off us. So once again, whatever you've been saying, and there might be two or three things, there were for me, lay it at the foot of the cross and leave it there. And we just break the power of what we have been saying to ourselves. We break it in Jesus' name. And we no longer accept these words that we've been speaking over ourselves. And we determine to change our self-talk. And we ask for a Holy Spirit alarm. As soon as we start to say these things to ourselves again in situations, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to show us that we might stop saying them and we might start speaking life into ourselves as well. And we thank you that you are changing us from the inside out so that we can position ourselves and so that we can take territory and move in the offensive to fulfill the promises that you have given each one of us as individuals and that you've given us as a family here. So we bless you and thank you, Lord. So every time you think these, or if people start to say things to you, reject them instantly. As soon as somebody says it, reject it, don't accept it, and watch that you don't speak words over yourself. So whatever you do, don't come into agreement with it. Could we have the final slide, please? So this is what we do to move offense into the offensive. We start proclaiming God's truth into our lives. We use God's words. That is our sword. That's the powerful weapon we have. And we dwell on it and meditate on it until it goes from head to heart and becomes power. We pray continually. We have people, prayer partners, somebody we can go to, a couple of people to support us, and we support them. And that helps us in our faith walk. We praise God. When we sing, we're praising him. We're speaking positives and singing positives. And you thank God continually. And then we share our testimony of what God has done. And I just pray and believe each person will have a testimony here as you've heard the word and those online as well. So let me pray for us before we finish. Lord, we're believing in faith for what you've done today for each one of us, that you have broke off the power of the words that we have spoken over ourselves and that others have spoken over us. And we thank you that you will help us to move as a body into the offensive and take territory that has been stolen from us. So we bless you and thank you. And we thank you that your word will never return void. It will always accomplish what we desire, what you desire, and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. Amen. Yes, what I meant to say to you was I find it quite difficult to make proclamations and declarations. There's all sorts of wee books where you can have things to declare 7 days a week, or you can use them as your devotionals. Like there's a daily decree here, and there's a victory decree, and I tend to do these almost every day, and that keeps me a bit positive. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Angela. Boy, it's our power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And at the risk of making myself a wee bit vulnerable here, that message was for me. As you know, Angela, Angela and I have spoken recently, but I have to say, it's all too easy to think of ourselves negatively and say, I can't do, oh no, I'm not doing that, I can't do it. And I'm very guilty of that. But two women in this church have prayed over me or spoken to me in the past 2 weeks. I didn't ask them because I'm not good at that. I don't, I want prayer, but I'm not good at going forward for prayer either. That's my vulnerability and things something I need to get over. But two women in the past 2 weeks have prayed or reached out to me, and it's about not being that victim and claiming the victory. And it has had a powerful impact on me. And also, when I was doing my devotions this week, for one of these ladies, I could go back and say, you know, you sent that to me today, I needed it. I was in tears when it came through. And also what I'd been reading was, and I'll just read it out, she was looking it up there. Well, it's Nikki Gumbel's Bible in a Year. See yourself as God sees you, as righteous in his sight, and believe that when God looks at you, he's pleased with you. So instead of being the victim, we need to look at ourselves as the victor and wholly trust in Jesus and God. And that's how he sees us. We can't do, we don't fail him. We feel that we let him down, but he sees us, he walks with us, he encourages us. And I have to thank these women as well for speaking to me in the last couple of weeks. So that, thank you, Angela, for that today as well. I'm sure it will impact on the people here. And I pray that we just take something away with us today. So let's just close in prayer. And Father, just thank you for these words that Angela brought to us. And Father, we know that they're from you. There is power, Father, in your name. And we just need to proclaim it. We need to grasp hold of it. And I just pray that each one of us here today and online takes something away from that message today, something to work on, and to speak your words over ourselves and not let anything get in the way of that, so that we can move forward as a church. Because the tide has turned, Father, and we've been talking about it. And I believe as we go into August that we are going into a new season. And Father, I just pray blessing on everyone today and for the week ahead in your name. Amen.